Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. Tuesday was a big day in the history of sports betting in Canada as Bill C-218 passed, which ends Canada's single-game betting ban. This obviously has major implications, very similar to what we experienced in the States. To get you up to speed on all of this, plus give you a forward-thinking perspective, I've got two awesome guests for you. Enjoy. Woo! And joining me is Jeff Zocodny, sports betting journalist for Covers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Zocodny. Jeff, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
What's the last 24 hours like been for you?
I would say it was very quiet and then very fast and furious and loud in the span of about 15 minutes as things were very eerily calm leading up to the vote on this single game sports betting bill. And then things just really kicked off after the vote ended.
And every sports bettor wants it to pass. Like, you're sitting there and it's like, not that I'm looking to read legislation news, but you're like, there's things in life where you're like, really, really, really want something to happen. And you had that calm, but what made this time different? Because I know I talked to Paul Burns from the Canadian Gaming Association immediately after this, and he said they were talking about this way back in like 2008. So we're sitting here 13 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's because this ban on single game betting that Canada has had has been around for decades, essentially. And as Paul pointed out, they've been trying to overturn it for more than a decade, and a lot of work has gone into it. And that really culminated in this vote yesterday. And you can kind of just, you could feel that the jubilation from the gaming industry when it finally passed. And we got a bunch of press releases right after too from everyone else involved. So, it was clear for them that this was a really, really important moment for the industry.
And let's take this back for a second to do a little history on Canadian sports betting. So first, why in the world was single game ban first implemented?
Well, the thinking that went into the ban in the first place was to ensure that there wouldn't be any match fixing, that all games would be above board. And the thinking, of course, behind that is if you need to fix multiple games, it's going to be pretty onerous and it's probably not going to happen. And so that's why you had the stipulation that in Canada, you have to, if you want to bet on sports other than horse racing, which you can do on single races through the pari mutuel system, but if you wanted to do it on fixed odds betting, you had to go through, you had to put in a parlay. And so it had to do with the match fixing angle. And that was something that got a lot of oxygen during debate in the Senate. And ultimately what the senators said about that was, or the senators that were in support of the bill, was that they see the existing provisions in Canada's criminal code as being sufficient to cover off any of that potential problem. And, the major thing for them too is if there were some kind of funny business going on, if you're dealing with people that are operating outside of a regulated system, you're not having a whole lot of a line of sight into what's going on there. You're not having a whole lot of communication with the sports books. And so the thinking is bring in the regulation, bring it all into this sort of regulated ecosystem. And that way you'll have a better chance of catching anything if anything does come up.
So let's dive a little bit deeper into that, because I am someone who does not play parlays. Why in the world is that? Because it's hard enough for me to win one bet, nonetheless, two bets. And am I to believe that in Canada then, hey guys, we're going to put you at a disadvantage in the way that you're going to bet because we're worried about other people fixing games, which is like a minuscule thing. It's like, hey, there's like a 0.00% chance of this happening, but you know what? We don't want that happening. So we're only going to allow you to bet on parlays. Was that it? Like, could they be 2, 3, 4 gamers, or is it only two? Or like, what did the current system look like?
Depends on where you are in Canada and what game you're playing. I know here in Ontario, like I'm based in Toronto, I can go down to the convenience store at the end of my street and I can play Proline, which is you got to select the outcome of three games correctly if you want to cash the ticket. And it's funny, actually, I was thinking yesterday was going to be a bit of a historical moment. So I went down and I was like, oh, I'll play a Proline and just have it for this day. And it wound up hitting all three of the games came through. But that's more of a, you know, it's obviously more of a remote possibility than with the single game betting. But that's how it works. I believe if you do purely point spread for one sport, like for football games, you can do a two game ticket. I think that is the case in Ontario. But again, in Canada, you have this system where it's left to the provinces to decide how they want to run gaming within their borders. And so each province gets to decide how they want that sports betting to work, except, of course, for that provision in the criminal code that says you can't do single game sports betting, which is now it's been chipped away at. And we should have some guidance on when it actually will be allowed to happen soon.
So let's look at why the naysayers were saying we still don't want the single game betting, because it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I get it. Hey, we don't want match fixing, but is that really what their argument was in present day?
There was some of that for sure. There were that argument was raised during debate in the Senate specifically. And that, again, we talked about how the argument against it was bring it into this regulated system. The existing provisions of the criminal code can tackle this. And so that was sort of tackled during those committee debate or during that Senate debate. And then also too, that was one amendment that was moved during the Senate hearings. But then you also had another amendment that was put forward that had to do with the rights of Indigenous people in Canada when it comes to gaming. For example, we have the Mohawks Kahnawake who have Sports Interaction, that's their business. They pointed out that they thought that this bill, since it didn't mention any Indigenous right to gaming, that they could potentially be disadvantaged by this. And so they had asked for an amendment, and there had been an amendment proposed during the Senate debates. It ultimately was rejected because the sponsors of the bill pointed out that this is a provincial jurisdiction thing. If provinces want to strike agreements with an Indigenous government, they can do so. But this bill, really, it's just looking at one line in the criminal code, and they were trying to just keeping the scope as limited as possible. So that ultimately didn't pass either. And once those two amendments were dealt with, the bill was voted on and it was passed by the Senate.
So let's get to how this was approved. Certainly we as sports bettors are like, well, I see every reason why you'd want this approved because it's a very logical thing. Be like, hey, would you be interested in an additional $500 million or a couple billion over the next few years for something that your people are already doing? You're just not getting the piece of it. It's a very logical thing. But how did it get approved this time?
Well, you've just had this big change in sentiment towards sports betting over the past 5 years, right? You had in the U.S. the 2018 Supreme Court ruling that really unlocked the legal sports betting industry in the U.S. So now you've got more than 20 states that have taken steps to legalize sports betting since that ruling came down. And while that's going on too, you've had, and maybe just to go back to that story before I move on, some of those states border Canada, right? There are states that are legalizing or have legalized sports betting that are on the border with Canada. They have their own casinos, they have their own gambling industry, and those are competitors to Canada's gambling industry. Like, and we have casinos in places like Niagara Falls and Windsor. Right across the border, you have your competition. And if that competition can offer something that you can't, potentially that's you losing on customers. So you had that angle from the gaming industry. Also too, you've had the professional sports organizations get more on board with sports betting in general, particularly since the 2018 decision by the Supreme Court. And those sports organizations had been opponents to the single game betting legalization in Canada in the past. This time around, however, you had organizations like the NHL and the CFL telling lawmakers that actually we support this now. And it's those sorts of factors that kind of let politicians here in Canada, they tweak to the fact that things have kind of changed. There's become a growing acceptance. And some of the people who had been the biggest opponents of this bill in the past were now their supporters. And that momentum carried through into Parliament and has now resulted in this bill being passed and just now awaiting the royal assent, and it will become law.
By the way, shout out to Windsor. I had gone there for New Year's one year because I had some friends who lived in Detroit and we could drink at a younger age by crossing the border. And it was an absolute blast. Nothing but good vibes for me in Windsor. One thing I'm curious on. So we're talking about single game wagering being allowed. Does that mean that we're now going to also get into props and live betting? Because as I look towards the market in the States, the thing that I'm most excited about over the course of the next 3 years is the variety of betting options. So you guys are going from parlay cards when you're really rigid in what you can do to right now, I can bet on virtually anything in any sport at any time in any way that I want.
Right. And it's really going to fall to the provinces to decide how they want to regulate this thing. So it's going to be a bit on just a case by case basis or province by province basis, how this rolls out. So I'm not entirely sure how it's going to look in the end. Right now, it's just sort of the fireworks are still going off just with getting this, you know, single event sports betting bill over the line. And what it does is it says, okay, this is now legal for the provinces to do and for the people that the province licensed to do. And so it really kicks it over to them. So once the provinces get the start date, there's supposed to be an order that will be issued that says this is the day that this law comes into force. And that'll really be the day when the provinces, they can then start doing this legal single game sports betting. And it'll fall to them to decide what exactly that's going to look like for them and for the people that live there.
For the people in Canada, I hope that the speed in which all of this gets adopted is fast, because it's only inevitable that all of these options are going to become available pretty much everywhere with the entrance of the major sports betting operators coming over there who are already doing these things here. But it's always frustrating when you're like, all right, you let us do this, but you're not giving us everything. And you know it's eventually going to happen. So why don't we just rip this Band-Aid off?
That's it. And that's been one of the main arguments the whole time we've been having this debate, is that one senator put it this way, is that we're not creating the single game sports betting industry. It's already here. We're just trying to bring it, you know, we're trying to subject it to Canadian regulation and to Canadian taxation. And, you know, that was a very convincing argument in the end for senators, you know, evidently because of the support that it got both in the Senate and in the elected House of Commons, where you even had at one point the prime minister voting in favor of it with a big smile on his face. So there was a lot of support that was, you know, that was managed for this bill.
He probably had the over and he's like, all right, guys, let's get this thing going real quick. Got some other stuff to do. Well, Jeff, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you wanted to leave us with regarding this?
No, I would just say, stay tuned. That we've seen in the US how once that ruling came down in 2018, it kicked it over to the states to decide how they want things to work. And you've seen throughout the US, different states are doing it different ways. And there's been varying levels of satisfaction with bettors in those states because of that. We're getting into a similar situation here in Canada, where you have the provinces that are going to try and figure out how they want to do it. So that will be the sort of really the big next thing to watch, because you could have a situation where things are very different in different parts of Canada. And as a result, you could have people that are perhaps very happy or not so happy with how things are being run.
Jeff, really enjoyed jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
You can catch me at covers.com. You can catch me on Twitter at Jeff Zakodny. And you know, there's plenty of stuff that's still going on in this space. So there's bound to be more that I'll be covering in the days to come.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Woo!
And joining me is Paul Burns, president and CEO of the Canadian Gaming Association. Paul, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So let's talk about the last 24 hours for you, because it's got to be pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. You know what? We're thrilled that the Senate got this to a vote before their summer recess. It's been a long journey for us. I started the first conversations on Ottawa were probably in 2008, 2009. We got a bill in 2011. It passed the House. It sat in the Senate for 3.5 years. They never dealt with it. So I admit I had some flashbacks for a while that we were going to stay in the Senate again for a while or die there. but it got done. And a lot of great work by actually Senator David Wells, who was a sponsor in the Senate and shepherded it through the process and got it done. And it really, for the Senate world, got it done in a really good short amount of time. So we're thrilled.
So what I want to do, is look forward, because that's what everybody cares about. For those who are like, boom, single game wagering is now here. So let's start with this. When is all of this going to roll out and launch?
I think you're going to see some things quite soon. Listen, there's the provincial, as everybody knows, again, it's gaming's all divided up by province, and every province gets to decide what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. Clearly, in many jurisdictions, the provincial lottery corporations are the dominant organizations. They've got online platforms. Some operate casinos. Some do let the private sector do it. But they're really masters of their domain. And so for a lot of them, they have online platforms. BCLC has said, we're going to move quickly to get it out into that platform, onto their playnow.com platform as quickly as possible. Quebec, the same. And I think you're going to see in the next few weeks on those platforms, you're going to see that offering come. I think in other places, it may take a little bit longer. The retail sports book, I think, is going to be a little bit longer, hopefully by Labor Day, in some jurisdictions where the casino sports books can begin to open. But it's the one thing, the provinces, there's no more legislation required to be done. The provinces are going to do it all through regulation. It's at their control. A lot of them have been working on it already for the sports betting regulation. So it's going to be, there's no more legislative process. There's have to wait for government. We just have to get the regulators putting their regulatory regimes in place, which I know they've been working on. We've been talking to many of them about it as they've gone forward. But the big one is going to be Ontario, because as you know, that Ontario is moving to a regulated online marketplace. It's going to be the only open licensing system, I think, in North America when it's all said and done. So anybody who wants to come and be licensed can come to Ontario and open an online gaming site, sportsbook. And that will happen later this year. So we're going to see, a gradual increase in product available for people, starting probably within weeks. And as the year comes to a close, a lot more, hopefully.
So let's look on the operator side of things, because looking in the States, you just see everyone doing a land grab for the user acquisition, the DraftKings, FanDuels, William Hills of the world saying, boom, we want to get in all of these markets. So what's the operators in play going to look like up in Canada?
Well, that's going to be the interesting part. So what we know Ontario, right? Ontario's going to go open marketplace. It's going to be, everybody's coming to the party. It's what, fifth biggest marketplace in North America in terms of population size. So it's attracting attention. It has been already for many of the big name sports books from the United States. And I think what we're going to see in other jurisdictions, the province of Alberta, they put out a request for information from Alberta Gaming back in April, looking for information from operators on creating a land-based retail casino sportsbook with a mobile extension. So with a mobile option. Hopefully they're going to follow through and invite in, let the casinos partner in Alberta with sports books and create not only branded books within the casino, but also mobile options for consumers in Alberta. And I think that's something we'll see how they'll follow through on that. That could be very interesting. The province of Saskatchewan, SIGA, the Saskatchewan Indian Gaming Authority, has been given authority to run the online gaming platform for the province of Saskatchewan, and they're going to bring a sports platform in. They're in the early days trying to figure that out. So there's some really interesting options that will come in places. And for the provinces like BC and Quebec, what are they going to do? They have an online platform, but they also know that the other brands are popular. They're out there. People see them when they're watching sports and watching events. Are they going to invite them in through the some kind of partnership or arrangement? That's what we're waiting to see, because I think that's what consumers are obviously going to be very interested in too, because I think competition's healthy. I mean, it's great. You know, it's good for the marketplace. It's great for sports teams and for the sports industry. So hopefully they'll bring in some options for customers.
And how will the established sports betting operators such as ProLine and the indigenous run online books fall in the market?
Well, one is that, you know, the lottery corporations have their brands, whether they keep, you know, enhance the, what the ones they have, like the ProLine Sports Select, ProPix, whatever you, they've, the brands they've been using, see how those evolve online, or even at the retail lottery kiosk where they've been sold lately. I don't know what the plans are for that market, because as we know, sports has been dominated in the online mobile platforms, and I think that's where it's heading. So I think we want to see giving a place where the customers can access it the best, the rest tools, create limited that friction between your customer to get them the product they want. And I think that it's the same with, you know, obviously Sports Interaction, which is the biggest Canadian brand operative of the Mohawk Gaming Group. You know, for them, I mean, they're operating under the KGC laws, and that's, they're allowed to continue to do that. And whether they apply for licensing in Ontario is up to them. I know as a Sports Interaction, probably free to apply for licensing wherever they chose to. So they'll be able to continue. I think Ontario's indicated that everybody who wants to come and apply for a license can. So I think Ontario's going to be the very competitive open market. As for the rest of the country, you know, the provinces have control. They get to decide. And I think a lot of them are taking a hard look at, you know, they'll start with their own platforms, but where are they going to go from there? And I think that's what the next several months will bring, is what other choices will consumers have in many of these jurisdictions.
How will the tax setups influence the products? So often when things get rolled out, I know me living in Chicago, I looked in the early lines, it was like, oh, take this line at minus 138. And we're like, minus 138? What in the world is this? So how is that all going to come into play?
Well, this is what we've been, you know, Ontario, because it's it will be an open licensing system. We've, as an industry association, been advocating for those lower tax rates. We've been using other jurisdictions like New Jersey and others as a model, Michigan, where you have an online rate, you have a lower rate for the retail casino sportsbook marketplace, because you understand it's not a big margin business, it's a volume business. Don't do what some jurisdictions have done, like Pennsylvania or New York. Yeah, because you don't win. I mean, you want activity, you want the marketplace to flourish. And that's what Ontario seems to be wanting to do. You know, as Ontario's with 50 million people almost, it's a robust market. The province is being very cognizant to make sure that their regulatory reach isn't, you know, too significant. It's inside the best practices going on in the world, but also the tax rates, or in Canada, we have to call them a revenue share model because of the laws. So there won't actually be a tax rate. You'll enter into an agreement on a revenue share, which will operate just like a tax, just called something different. And that will hopefully set into that rate that's competitive enough to allow the business to flourish. Because we know when you see high tax rates, there's very few entrants, there's very little activity, and the markets just aren't the same.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest challenges. Everyone gets super excited. It's like, boom, single game betting is here. And they're like, yeah, but we're not going to give you the best lines. And some places you can't do this on mobile. And you're like, well, wait a second. What exactly are you giving me? I know legally these are the things. But then us as the consumers are like, well, why would I stray from the thing that I've been using just because you now say this is legal, but I'm going to go put myself in a less advantageous position than I was.
Well, exactly. And that's, you know, we're trying to, the government's to say, you know, don't, you know, you've got this tool now, let's use it right. Let's build the business the right way. Because consumers, especially in Canada, because of the large gray market in the online space, like, you know, Canadians have been able to access 365, Betway, all these companies for years. They're used to this. Now, you know, Ontario is trying to say, well, we're bringing you into the regulated marketplace. We're going to do this, you know, in a way that you want to sign up and you want to be part of this. And we want to encourage competition in the marketplace. And so we're going to see that in Ontario, but the Canadians in other parts of the country will still be accessing these gray market sites. And it's like, guys, why don't you just bring them in, make them, put everybody under the same level playing field, create a better marketplace instead of trying to think you can monopolize the business, because you can't. And not in today's day and age, not in Canada. We don't do IP blocking. We don't do any of that stuff. So you've got to bring them in. You've got to give them a place at the table to start. Because the consumers are going to go find the products they want. If you don't give them the good odds, you don't give them the great product, they're leaving.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing on the consumer side that I wish that all legislation understood, just because we will make the impact with our dollars one way or another. And the last question for you is about the future of betting in Canada in terms of market size. How big can this market be?
Well, there's a lot of numbers kicking around. So it's been fun to watch. What we know now, right now, the legal sports lottery products across this country are doing about $500 million a year in total handle. And we know because of a lot of the offshore companies are publicly traded, whether in the UK and others reporting, we know that roughly Canadians are wagering about $4.5 billion right now in offshore books. And then the size of the illegal market is roughly around $10 billion by estimates. How much of that $14.5-15 billion today will start moving into the legal regulated marketplace? Estimates start year one, 5 to 6, getting a little bit of increment as it rolls out. And there's been estimates as high as it's $28 billion in total handle in 5 years. So there's great potential. I think that Canadians haven't always experienced a lot of choice. They haven't a lot of spirit of variety and product, and we haven't had a lot of promotion advertising in our marketplace from the offshore folks. So all of that ramps up. I think we're going to see that market grow. And I think we could, we'll see that 5 to 7 probably in the handle in year one in this country. Beyond that, I think the increments will be strong, but it really depends on how the provinces choose to what they're going to give their customers. And that's why you can estimate, but it's going to be hard until these guys figure out how they're going to roll it out in their jurisdictions.
The thing that I'm most excited about for everyone in Canada, which is something that I got to experience living in Chicago, is when things become legalized, you now have more choice. So now we've got multiple sports books. So I'm sitting here with 3 different sports books. Now I'm shopping different lines, different prices, different promotions. And that actually makes the operators have to get better at what they do, because oftentimes I can find one book is always beating the other ones. And I'm like, well, I'm going to continue to give them my service. And I think one of the things the industry has a big challenge on is so much of everything is homogenous. It's the same everywhere you go. So what can you do to differentiate yourself from the other books that are out there?
That's it. And you're dead right. That's people are, you look at some books and you're a soccer fan, you want to bet on soccer, you know that some books are going to do it better. And you go there, you do that, and some are better on NFL football, and some are doing and want to compete on better things. And the offers too obviously drive some of that. And that's why, but you're right, it's choice. It's give people choice. It's a wonderful thing. It can create so much great economic activity. But at the same time, it really was it forces that you're delivering ensuring that you as a sportsbook operator, you're being authentic to the market you're working in, right? You understand the customer from that place, because betting, as you know, it's not the same from state to state or country to country in this world. There's lots of unique features from the south to the north, all over. And not everybody gets it right in every place. And so you got to be on your game and you got to deliver. And that's where I think in Canada, it's not going to be much different. You're going to see a lot of, especially we talk about the long tail offerings for a lot of people in European soccer, cricket, other pieces. There's a lot of fans up here in Canada, and I know I live in Toronto, a lot of fans are looking for those products too, and they want to find them. And if you're not offering them, well, it's a whole segment you're leaving behind. And so I think that there's really, it's great. I'm really excited about what's coming, and I hope the government's do what they need to do on a good, fair, level playing field for a regulatory environment so everybody can put their best foot forward and the customers win. That's the best part.
Amen to that. Paul, really enjoyed jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you or find out more about all of this?
We're at CanadianGaming.ca is the Canadian Gaming Association. And that's an association. We're always available at info@CanadianGaming. I'm P. Burns at CanadianGaming.ca. We got a great group of members and from some of the leading names in the business, and we're growing thanks to the sports betting world and the iGaming market growing in Ontario. So good things happening in Canada. We're trying to get our casinos all reopened from COVID. We're a little bit behind everybody else, but we're getting there. But it's good times ahead in terms of for sports fans in Canada, and we're really thrilled. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And I want to hear from you. If you live in Canada, what was your reaction like for this? Or if you live in the States, what was your reaction like when your state legalized sports betting? You can hit me up on Twitter @RobCressy. Also make sure to tag @Covers. And remember, you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. What's wrong with it? The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.